So I will discuss the system of transport of oxygen in the lung, which is made of two successive trees with different functional goals, and which are both in some sense very good. So I will describe, and perhaps the idea, and it might be interesting, how a system can be optimal from a, let's say, physical or mathematical point of view, and perhaps not be optimal for a living system, because there might be a difference, because in life you have to fight some randomness at least, which might exist. Okay. So this is a collective work. It has been for many years, and here are many of these people are in this room. Denis Grebenkopf, our chairman, Marcel Filoche, and Ewald Weibel, who will give a public lecture in the afternoon. So, as I said, the system is made by two successive tree structures. The first structure is purely, it's here, it's the bronchia. All the iconography that I will show comes from Professor Weibel's team in Bern. So this is a mold of a real lung, and in white, this is the bronchia. So it's a dichotomic tree with 15 successive bifurcations. and at the end of each of these small bronchioles, there is, well, first, if you look, you see that this is really a dichotomic tree, again. And this is the same for the rat. So essentially, what I will mention is true for mammals in general. But of course, we'll concentrate on the man. So at each bronchiole, so the bronchiole arrive here. So this is the end of one of these small white pipes. You enter a different tree. It's made of ducts, and the ducts are decorated by all these small, these are the pulmonary alveoli. And there is successive bifurcation in this system. And if you cut that, you see like the apparent surface of a sponge, but of course it's an organized sponge. And this system, this last system, is called an acinus, a pulmonary acinus, and we will discuss the functioning of this pulmonary acinus. The pulmonary acinus is where really the oxygen of the gas is exchanged with blood. So this is a diffusion cell. This is really the active part. The bronchia serve to distribute air, but there is no absorption. It's a passive system of pipes. Okay, so each acinus contains around 10,000 alveoli, and so we have something like 300 million. And if you look closer, so this is a duct. You see that around there are these alveoli. These are beautiful pictures made by Ewald Weibel. It's the size of an alveoli is something like a small fraction of a millimeter. And if you there is a wall between two different alveoli, here and here, everywhere. So if you look closer, this is the wall, so there is gas above and below. And here, these are capillary vessels in which circulates the blood cell. So the oxygen comes from the surrounding gas, diffused through the membrane, and we will see this is a very important step, and be trapped by oxygen by the blood cell, then transported finally to the muscle. So there in this problem, so we have two regimes. At the beginning, oxygen is transported with air, so it's a drift of air which carries the oxygen, but no exchange. And at the end, you have only diffusion. So So you have to compare something like the ratio of the speed of diffusion divided by the diffusion the speed of the gas U divided by this d divided by this quantity, which is the diffusion speed to reach the bottom, the deepest region in the asinus. And if you plot that, so this is a plot as a function of the generation. Now, if this number this is called an asinus Peclet number. If it's large, it means that the transport is due to drift. If it is small, it means that the transport is mainly due to diffusion. And if you look at the value of that, it is different at rest and exercise, because velocity at exercise is something, maximum exercise, something like 10 times larger than at rest. But you can see that really the diffusion cell starts around generation 18 at rest, and perhaps 21, around 21 at full, at maximum exercise. And this is very important, because at rest you may have, and this is what I will show and discuss, a gradient in the concentration of oxygen here, represented by this small red circle at rest. So this is a very schematic representation of this age. There is no age generation, but you see what it means. And at exercise, the convection enters the system, and diffusion starts here only. So diffusion at exercise is really in a number of smaller systems. This is interesting. So the mathematical frame of that problem is essentially to find the solution of the Laplace equation. So this is a gas. In red, this is a blood. Here, there is a membrane. And the flux across the membrane is proportional to the permeability of the membrane, a physical parameter, multiplied by the difference of concentration of oxygen here and the oxygen in the blood. And the continuity equation, this is a Fick's law, the current proportional to diffusivity in the gas times the gradient of concentration. So if you write the conservation of current here, you find that the real boundary condition is that the current is conserved. And this means that the real, from the point of view of mathematics, the real boundary condition is written here, C divided by gradient of concentration at the surface is equal to a ratio of two physical parameters, diffusivity divided by permeability, and this is a length. Then in this problem, there is a characteristic length. And of course, what we have now is this geometry was trivial, but in fact, we have to find some way solutions of that problem in this very complicated geometry. So let's start from very general consideration. Suppose you have a convoluted surface like that, which has some diameter LA. So LA is the size of the system. And how do we know if there is screening? Screening means that in some circumstances, particles starting from a source will reach some region, the more accessible region of the system, and deeper region may not be reached because the particle will be absorbed before. So this is a very general phenomenon. You have that also in electrostatics and so this is all related to the property of the solution of Laplace equation on irregular surfaces. Very general, there are several very powerful theorems, one by Nikolai Makarov. So as a physicist, we take a rough estimate. So we compare the conductance to reach that surface. And this is approximately diffusivity times the size. So this is a conductance to reach the surface with a conductance to cross the surface. So the conductance to cross is the permeability multiplied by the total area of the surface. Now, if it is easy to reach and difficult difficult and difficult to cross. The surface works uniformly. If in the opposite situation, the less accessible regions are not rich, transport is limited by diffusion, there is diffusion screening. So depending on the value of the parameter and the geometry, you may be in one or the other or an intermediate situation. And there is a crossover between the two regimes when these two quantities are equal, and if you write they are equal, when the ratio of the convoluted surface divided by the diameter of the object is equal to, so this is a morphometric object, okay? Ratio of the surface divided by the size is equal to this physical, this is a length, and this physical length that we call lambda, ratio of the, something like the speed to transport in the gas divided by the speed to cross the membrane. So the crossover is obtained in that situation. And what is the geometrical significance of the length? So you take a very complicated surface, and what represents this ratio? So take first a sphere. This is its surface. Its size is twice the ratio. So you find that the ratio here is in fact the perimeter, a grand perimeter of the sphere. Okay. Take a cube, you can take that, of course it depends on the angle of the cut, but it's also the same order of magnitude, the order of a magnitude of a planar cut of your complicated surface. And this is even true for a self-similar fractal with dimension D. There is a theorem by Falconer which tells you that the cut of a surface with a dimension, of a fractal surface with dimension d, is a fractal surface with dimension d minus 1. So this is a theorem by Falconer. And if you write the usual formula, this is the total area, this is the smaller cutoff, this is the large cutoff, the size of the system. You divide that by the size, you find that, and this is exactly the length of a cut in the fractal set, the usual fractal formula. Okay. So here, the length of the cut is this total length of this curve. Now, what is the permeability? The permeability is a product of the solubility of oxygen, the diffusivity of oxygen in water, because essentially the membrane is made of water, divided by the membrane thickness. This is the simplest way to picture that. So if we now go for the morphologic data, this picture, and measure the length of this red curve and the area for the human, we consider the 1/8 subacinus because this is the size of the diffusion cell. This we know from the Peclet number, okay? And divide by the size of that object, you find a perimeter which is equal to 30 centimeters. So this is a morphologic length. And now the physical length is very close to that. So it means that our lung have been built in some way not to be too large or too small in regard of diffusion property. So this is a very interesting. I mean, this is what triggered us into that problem several years ago. And this is true for all the mammals. So you can see that the mouse, rat, rabbit, human, the asinus perimeter is always of the order of 10 centimeters. And the length, it varies slightly because the thickness of the membrane is not the same for all the different animals, but then it is always of the same order of magnitude. The ratio of mass between a mouse and a human is 3,000. So you can see that whatever the size, the mass of a mammal from the smallest to the large mammals, they there is a constant which is hidden in the cut of an asinus. So really the performance of an asinus must be something in some sense critical for so this is shown here. This is a human subasinus, this is a rat, the rabbit, the rat, the mouse. Now if you look at the cut, essentially the length of the cut, that is the total length of what you see on the screen for the human, for the rat and the rabbit, is more or less the same. Everything is different, the size of the alveolar, the size of the total volume, the total size, but the length of the cut is essentially a constant. Now, what we are interested, of course, to the final flux from the air to the blood. So the flux, is apart from constant, is proportional to the surface, to the permeability, to the difference of pressure between the gas, the entrance of the gas, the partial pressure at the entrance and in the blood, and to a number, eta, which characterize, in some sense, the quality of the asinus towards this this question of efficient or not efficient diffusion. So we define this number, which is the asinus efficiency. It's a number always smaller than one. And it's a ratio of the real flux, which is the integral of the permeability times the pressure drop along this very complicated surface, divided by the flux that would be if the diffusivity would be infinite and the partial pressure would be uniform everywhere, which is not the case. And of course, there are constants. So in some sense, this number eta measures something like the equivalent fraction of the surface which is active. So we have tackled this problem in several ways. These are pictures of finite element calculation in a model asinine. So these only maps of concentration for different value of lambda. You can see that if you increase lambda, you penetrate more into the system. The system is more efficient. So we find that, using more or less this type of trick, we found that at rest, the efficiency would be for the human only 40%. And at exercise, in that computation, 85%. Now we can do more. The group of Professor Weibel has studied in detail. So this, in some sense, this is a complete asinus. It's made of one eighth of an asinus. They are, of course, in the real life, they are different. This is a real system. And the length are representative of the length of the duct. Of course, in the each of these lines is decorated by alveolar. To compute that, we coarse-grain the system, which we can do because at the scale of an alveolar, the concentration is uniform. So you can go, if you have a system like that, it's just a 2D picture to represent the problem. Instead of treating a diffusion equation by finite element in the volume of a complex system, you can introduce a random walk on the skeleton of the system, and it can be shown that it is, it's not an exact, but it's a very, very good approximation. So this way, so there is correspondence between, the real equation and the parameters on the lattice. There is, if you have finite permeability, it means that when a particle hits the membrane, it has a finite probability to be absorbed. So, but there is an exact transposition. This is classical. We can compute the efficiency. So this is helpful because it gives us a way to compute the efficiency on the real topology of a real asinus. And this is what you obtain. You see that there are 8 subasinus. They are not the same. Some are larger than the others, so the efficiency is different. And for oxygen, we find that the average efficiency is 0. 34% at rest. So at rest, the so we come to this idea of optimality. So at rest, in some sense, we are not optimal because we use only something like a third of the surface. And at maximum exercise, the efficiency is of order one. So it's near optimality from the physical point of view at exercise. Now, more recently, Denis Grebenkov and I made an analytic calculation on a finite tree, and so he was able to compare something like what would be a simplified average Asinus to the real Asinus. And you can see that essentially it is the same. So the viable model of a symmetric bifurcating is a good approximation towards computing diffusion sufficient. Now, so these are now plots of the efficiency for various Asinus or smaller Asinus, let's say. So this is an entire Asinus, one half, one quarter, one eighth. So what you can see, as the qualitative argument told you before, is that the smaller the system, the larger the efficiency. So this means that if we had huge Asini, we would be poorly efficient. You could figure that we could perhaps exist with one single Asini in the thoracic cage, enormous, instead of 6 millimeters, it would fill the thoracic cage, and you wouldn't have to breathe. You could stay and wait for diffusion to reach that. But you will soon be dead. Because a large system, a system which has a perimeter much larger than this physical length, is poorly efficient. And this is, in fact, the very reason why the lung has to be branched. The efficiency of the diffusion is better to have a 30,000 small diffusion cell than to have a very large single diffusion cell. It's more efficient, and it would give So the efficiency decrease with the size of the cell and increase with this physical length. Increase with difficulty and decrease with permeability. And now here is the magic of this system. In the strong screening regime, the efficiency then is inversely proportional to the size of the surface of the system, as you can see here, you know, this is factor two. Sorry. Now, the flux is a product of the surface times permeability, times pressure drop, times efficiency. Consider early stage of emphysema. Emphysema is a loss of surface within the asinus. The number of asinus, but there is less alveola, so there is a loss of surface. A loss of surface means that the efficiency increases. That's exactly in the same manner. So this means that there is a compensation. So if you have screening, as you have at rest, you may have early form of emphysema and continue to have good life at rest. Because at exercise, you use the total surface, and if you have lost surface, you have lost flux. At exercise, eta is equal to 1. Another magic of this diffusion reaction tree, also in this strong screening regime, the efficiency is proportional to lambda, as you can see here, whatever the size. That means inversely proportional to the permeability. Now consider edema. Edema is essentially a deterioration of the membrane permeability, perhaps due to blood circulation inside the membrane, or to flooding of the lung, which put plasma, that is essentially water, which will spread along the surface and thicken the barrier for diffusion, then decrease the permeability. So you decrease the permeability, but lambda increase and eta increase. So the product, what will happen is that essentially it will be compensated naturally without taking any drug. So the system has some, it's not optimal from the physical point of view, but it has this very interesting property. By the way, here you have the permeability, and eta is proportional to lambda, and lambda is inversely proportional to the permeability. So the flux in that regime is independent of the permeability. So you may have some kind of edema without noticing, at rest, always, if of course you are in a regime where the efficiency is small. Wow, there is something, okay. Okay. So this is a plot of this phenomena. So at rest, you have a resistance of the membrane. This is the inverse of the permeability. And look how this is schematic, of course. The curves are somewhat rounded. I could discuss more, but the principle is interesting. So the flux at rest may keep constant up to a situation where the efficiency is equal to 1. When the efficiency is equal to 1, the flux is proportional to the permeability. That means that if you increase the resistivity, the flux will decrease. So if you have some early form of edema, you can still be at rest and be okay. But of course, you cannot exercise, because at exercise, you use your full surface, and if the surface as a larger resistance, the flux will be decreased. And then you can detect a region where things really become severe or catastrophic. And this is given by the value of the resistance or the value of the permeability, which is in some sense critical. I mean, critical perhaps for the patient. And from our computation, we can find that and relate that to a given thickness of water, essentially, along the 100 square meters of the lung. And in fact, this corresponds to what you can find in medicine book, more or less, the same order of magnitude, 300 to 500 cc of water in the lung. Then you have a severe asthma. So our computation justify that. Also, possibly in asthma, if asthma asthma is essentially reduction of the diameter of the bronchiole, and if it is a smaller bronchiole entering the sinus, if you still pump the same way, because you know, if your diaphragm work in the same way, so you keep the flux in a smaller diameter, the velocity increase, so the gas enter more deeply, and the efficiency increase. So in that case also, there is some spontaneous compensation, and the mild form may remain asymptomatic. So the conclusion for this diffusion cell, from the point of view of optimality of the transport, is that at rest the efficiency, it's not optimal from the physical point of view, but it is robust. It is robust. It means that you can have some deterioration and keep the same system. And of course, at maximum exercise, we have a total efficiency. The bed, you use totally the surface. But this is fragile. Any deterioration of the quantity of surface.
Would you conclude from that that we were not designed to be a threat?
I like you.
concluded that we are designed to.
No, we were. We had a clever designer. For instance, newborns have small acini. The small acini, as I showed, are totally efficient. So newborns cannot increase their oxygen flux by exercising. And when they exercise, because they cry very, very strongly, they become blue, because they cannot gain efficiency. But if I run, I do not come blue already. Okay, so this is optimality in a sense. So it's some optimality versus robustness, because it's a living system. So it's, and we'll see something of the same type for the bronchial tree. And so I will discuss, is this tree magic? In a sense, what is the sense of magic? So I will describe that. So this is the tree. At the entrance, we have inertial effect. And in the intermediate regime, the velocity has decreased, so we are in a Stokes regime, and we can use Poiseuille law. So this is what I will describe in a very simplified manner. So Poiseuille regime corresponds to small fluid velocity. So if you have a bronchia, and a flux phi across this bronchia. The flux is related to the pressure drop by resistance, which is given here, proportional to the length and inversely proportional to the power force of the diameter. Okay, so if we have a simple dichotomic tree, and if it is homothetic, as we will see later, it's more or less. But this is an approximation of order zero. So these dimensions are reduced by a factor I at a generation, a factor HI at each generation. So if you have a system like that, the resistance can be written. This way, it's the resistance of the first pipe. And then you have two smaller pipes, but the resistance is modified by the size, because there is a length in the numerator and the fourth power in the denominator, it's a power three. And then you have this sum for a finite tree, and its total volume is written here. It goes at each stage with the cube, of course, of the size. So you have first one bronchia, two bronchia, four, like that. So if we look for optimality, we want to minimize the resistivity of this tree within a given volume. And for that, you can use the technique of Lagrange multiplier. And if you use that, you finally H1 is related to some, H1 is specific in some sense, but what is very important is that this shows that all the homothecy factor, the best tree is really homothetic with an homothecy factor, which is written here. So this is an exact number, approximately equal to 0.79. Now, this number was found one century back by optimizing the viscous loss, Poiseuille law, against volume in the spirit of blood. So this number is not a new number, it's an old number. But these trees are very special properties. This is why you can qualify them of magic. So the best bronchial tree. So it's a dichotomic tree with homothecy. So it's fractal, and its fractal dimension can be written here. And it happens that this fractal dimension is equal to So this number, which can be deduced only from physics, implies something very different, that the tree is space filling. It means, and of course you want that, you want the tree to go everywhere in the volume. Now, its total volume is written here, the total pressure drop is written here, and one or the other increase to infinity with the size of the tree, the number of bifurcation. Unless you have h is equal to the critical value, in that case the increase is slower. So this can be, in some sense, this number can be considered as a critical value. But anyway, the sum diverges, the sum of the volume and the sum of the resistance. So this means that in physics language, you see, mammals cannot live in the thermodynamic limit. I mean, the infinite system, you cannot have an infinite tree because you will need infinite pressure drop to have a flux. It would have infinite resistance or infinite volume. So we have some limitations. Okay. So this is a picture from Mandelbrot's book. He wanted to make a fractal lung. So you can see it goes everywhere. So it's true that it goes everywhere, it's space filling. I mean, of course it's limited, but in this picture it's space filling. But it couldn't work from a physical point of view. So only finite trees have a finite physical significance. Now, where is the magic for this one? Well, there are several properties. So you have a stage 0, 1, 2, 3. Resistance are proportional to length divided by diameter. And if you just check, the resistance between here and here is equal to the resistance between here and here, the resistance between here and here. Okay. If you would have, I mean, not a preoccupation for the lung, but if you want to have uniform energy dissipation, that would be related to that specific geometry of the tree. It would be magic in that sense. Another property of the tree. When you breathe, you want air to reach where you need. I mean, go through the pipe. Each pipe takes a given time. And you want to minimize the total time, okay? So suppose there would be a time T0 to go from here to here, T1 to go from here to here or here, and so on. So what you want is really to minimize the transit time. How can you minimize the transit time? Well, you can find that by a collage argument, which is the following. Suppose that you have different times. So you order them, one of them is smaller, so it's better. So you go to the next, you say, oh, this is a larger time, so I will make the system as the system the next to me, which has a shorter time. So finally, you will end with a uniform distribution of time to minimize the time. So it's natural in this frame to have the same time to go from here to here and here to here and here to here. Now the time is to travel is the velocity divided by the length. The velocity is a flux divided by the surface. This is at stage n. At stage n plus 1 is written here. And if you work these simple things, you find that the length at stage n plus 1 is equal to the length at stage n divided by this number 2 to the power 1/3. So this is a totally different property. It's not related to energy dissipation, to space filling, and it's different. So this number can be found from a purely kinematic argument, transit time, from a purely physical argument, and it can be found from a purely geometric take. Suppose that you know you have a tree, and of course you want to make it space filling. So you want this fractal dimension to be equal to 3, and you don't know what is h, but h you find from this equation, you find again this number. So this tree is why I call that magic, because it has several, let's say, orthogonal properties. And this may be important from the point of view of evolution, because there is several types of benefits which are different. I mean, the most obvious is that, of course, you want to have something which is space-filling, but you want perhaps, I don't know, I mean, certainly if you consider blood, where really energy dissipation is always even at rest a critical issue, of course, such physical argument would be of importance. So when you have something like that, so this structure is over the determined in some sense. Now, what about real lengths? So this is a number. Well, real lengths are not like that, but they are not so far. And I find that this is fascinating. Of course, I'm not the first to make this remark. So in fact, the length and the diameters and the length do not scale really in the same manner. But what you find when you measure things is that it's always of the order of 0.85. Remember this number. To the next talk, that of Marcel Filoch, you see something very interesting about this number. So it's a little more complicated, but it's not so far from the optimal system. So this is a plot of the resistance as a function of the energy ratio. This is for 10 generations. And this is a plot of the volume, sorry, because the larger the OTC ratio, the larger the volume. And you can see that this is very steep. Okay, you can see here the volume, for a few percent, the volume is doubled, something like that. So really, this age value is a critical value. If you would have 20 generations, that would be very... very steep here. It would be like that. But very steep, more steep means more sensitive to defect if the OTC ratio change. So, oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. So the human lung is more or less here. So the perfect optimized tree would be here. Your lungs are around this number. They have, in some sense, a volume which is a little too large. And this is at the detriment of the volume given to the acini, because essentially our lung is made of this 30,000 acini, because this is where the action transfer from air to blood takes place. We need that surface. So it's a little too large, but it has a smaller resistance, and specifically a smaller derivative of the resistance against variation of the geometry, in some sense. So lung has a security margin. And generally speaking, one can think that this authorizes some variability in the morphology, which obviously exists. We don't have good, every one of us, even in our each individual lung, there is some dispersion of the dimensions. So there is, however, a strong sensitivity of the resistance to bronchoconstriction. And this is very important because a factor 2, it's a very serious matter in terms of health. So there exists pathological situation where the inner diameter of the bronchia, not their length, is decreased. So this is, let's say, a normal physicist bronchia. It's a circle, and there is mucus, and in the wall there are smooth muscle. So you might have irritation due to pollution or things like that, or muscle contraction. So this reduce, and this is what exists for asthma, a form of asthma which is reserved to people making to athletes, which is called exercise-induced bronchospasm, bronchiolitis, and this type of. And of course, in fact, you can increase the quality of the model by taking in a realistic lung. There are two different, as I showed you, homotacy ratio for the diameter and the length. But anyway, this is in asthma, this is the diameter which change. So the pressure drop in that case has to be written like that. There is another critical factor which is not 0.79 but 0.81. Okay. And this is a plot of the resistance as compared to the normal resistance as a function of the diameter reduction factor. But note here the scale is percent. And you can see for a few percent of change, the increase in resistance may be very large. So this system is very sensitive. So a tree by itself is very performing, but very, in some sense, dangerous, very sensitive to any variation. So, okay, so I think I will do that in due time. So the tree structure of the lung is close to physical optimality, and it has a security margin which, to some extent, permits to adapt, to keep a small resistance, because it's a little away from optimality in the strict sense. So also, from this point of view, you can guess that very minute difference between individual will induce very large difference in the in the possibility to perform sports, for instance. Because of course you run if you go to the Olympics and you are 1% faster, this is enormous, but you are even a tenth of a percent better, and you have the gold medal as compared to the second, which is 0.2% less efficient. And you can see the scale. This means that you cannot select athletes by measuring them. Okay. You have to exercise. Some people are probably most fitted. Now, most fitted means more sensitive to defects. And it's a common fact that athletes are more prone. So if you go to Google and type athletes asthma, you find I don't know how many pages. It's a current fact. I mean, there was a picture in Time magazine in which before the one of the guys taking the French in Ventoline, Ventoline, and it's a French, you know, a bronchodilator. It's very serious. There is a recent world record man of swimming, French, and he has this problem. He told that. I was surprised, but he told that he has this problem. So the higher performance of athletes require higher ventilation rates, of course. I mean, you could say perhaps the diameter of the pipes really adapt, but we know that they don't readapt so much. So probably the initial geometry is dominant. It's not clear that it is the initial geometry. But more generally, there is something else. If you have a tree, and this is very general of any tree, an uneven distribution of flux at each bifurcation will create a multifractal distribution at the bottom of the tree. I will not discuss that in detail. Because, of course, if you take the flux and divide it into 40% and 60%, and then again for 40 and 60. Somewhere you have 0.4 to the power 10, and some other place you have 0.6 to the power 10. And the ratio of that is very different. So this system probably, I mean, from this is a general consideration, but I think this here, this consideration tells you that there must, we could not live probably, the system is too critical for us to live if there was not some regulation mechanism. There are questions about the role of smooth fibers in the bronchia, and people disagree on what. But the general question is that a tree, along a tree, there is a multiplicative process. And then this may, in general, create some multifractal distribution, very uneven. And of course, this is probably not very good for you. Okay. So the summary is that physical optimality of a tree is directly related to its fragility. And so it cannot be the sole commanding factor of evolution. Probably evolution, survival is not linked to the fact that you have the best geometric system, but you have a good system, not too far from the best, and this can be regulated against various things. And the next talk by Marcel Filoche will give some more precise evaluation of that, what means this word of robustness in this framework.